This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let's go to the Ville. Bring on the head football coach, Scott Satterfield, rocking and rolling, getting ready for not only a big, big interview, but he's also getting ready to celebrate like a rock star because he's got a birthday coming up. He's got National Signing Day going on. He's got all kinds of stuff happening up there. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You're right. There was a lot of great things going on here this week and starting today with National Signing Day.
So let's get right into that first. How crazy is it, given all the dead period in recruiting, you're signing guys that you probably haven't seen in quite some time. I know you can't talk about any of them specifically, but just the process of really how crazy and goofy college football recruiting has been this season.
Well, it's unprecedented what happened this year. And I feel for these recruits and these families, because usually by this time when you're signing to go to a school, you've probably already been to that school 4, 5, 6, 7 times, including an official visit, which we didn't have any of those this year. Fortunately for us, a lot of these guys, we've been recruiting for over a year, year and a half. So a lot of these guys came to a game last year. We were able to see them. And in January, maybe come up to a basketball game that we had last year before the pandemic hit. So I really feel for the guys. But, you know, what we have accomplished through the media technology that we've been able to use, a lot of Zoom calls, we've been able to see them, and maybe more than we ever have in the past. So that part's been great. A sprint to this finish line here for today to get these guys signed up. And we're so excited for them to join us in our team, as I am sure every other college out there is the same, feeling the same way.
All right. So when all this goes down now, and I joke going to the break, nobody stares at a fax machine anymore, do they? Or is this the only day of the year you look at a fax machine?
No, I don't even think anybody has a fax machine in their office anymore, do they? I'm not sure. We're using everything through email now and through our phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're basically staring at our phones now as to say, to see when we can announce or, when can we retweet one of the guys that have signed, and everything's official. So it's, we're moving on now from the fax machine.
All right. The game
was so.
Go ahead, Wes. Go ahead.
How important going into this week, and I know everybody wants to finish regular seasons on a high note. That kind of goes without saying. But it seemed like Saturday was big for you, your team, everybody. It just seemed like everybody feels better after a win Saturday against Wake Forest.
Well, absolutely. We're in a business of, what have you done for me lately? So you always got to win your last game. I mean, it sets it up for the off season as you move forward. And particularly for us, I mean, it was senior day, but ironically on senior day, we had a ton of young guys make a lot of plays for us. And that was awesome to see. We started 6 freshmen offensively, even on defense, some of the guys that came in made plays for us. And so, you want to end on a high note, and, we've struggled to get some wins this year, but we have played some good football offensively and defensively, but to put 45 points up on the board and to win the turnover margin, I mean, it's just a fun day. So much excitement out there, and I'm really proud of our guys and our program as we move forward in this offseason.
Coach, the word turnover, it really describes the season, doesn't it? I mean, when you guys protected the football, you played good football. When all of a sudden you're kicking all over the yard and throwing it to the wrong guy, it was just like, yeah, what are we going to do here? And I don't mean to simplify a season, because it's certainly complex, but really for this club, the 20 version of the Louisville Cardinals, it really was about the turnover.
It really was. You go back and you can look at the stat line. You can see where we were defensively. What a tremendous improvement from where we were 2 years ago up to this year. I think we're in the top 5 in defense in the ACC offensively. We were 4th, I think, in total offense, but we just didn't have as many points because we turned the football over. And you mentioned that. I mean, when we took care of the football, we won the game. The Notre Dame game, we didn't have any turnovers. We lost 12-7 in South Bend, against the number 2 team in the country. So, we feel we can compete with anybody out there, but again, we have to be able to take care of the ball. We're getting better offensively and defensively. And, I think with the class we added today, it's going to give us a lot more depth as we head into next season. So, it's a lot of promise and a lot of great optimism here around our program here in the Ville. And, you know, again, we're looking forward to when we get back. I mean, after the game in the locker room, we're sitting there and everybody's, you know, celebrating and all that. And we're talking about, you know, coming back here in January, getting this thing going again. So, I mean, that's just the attitude right now. And everybody's so excited about the future.
Coach, I want to we already talked this morning about Kenny Pickett announcing yesterday he's going to come back to Pittsburgh. And we talked with Tom Luganbill extensively yesterday about this bonus year. And you and I and Roddy discussed it briefly last week in our meeting prior to your game with Wake Forest. What kind of expectation do you have for those conversations? Do you think you'll have a guy or two that will use that bonus year to come back and be part of your program? Because you mentioned it. You got some young guys, but you got some older guys, too, that might be able to step in and continue to help you a little bit in 21.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's obviously a very unique year and what we're dealing with everything. And I think, you know, sometimes some of these guys just need a chance to set back and let me evaluate where we are with everything. And, of course, you know, most all these seniors want to have an opportunity to go play at the next level. They're kind of re-evaluating that piece of it, kind of talking to some guys, personnel in the NFL to say, hey, where would I be if I came out this year? Or should I come back one more year and try to help my stock as a football player? So we're having those conversations right now. We'd anticipate, you know, a handful of guys or more that would come back and want to play one more year. You know, a lot of great leaders in that senior class, and, you know, we'd certainly welcome those guys to come back and play, you know. But, again, over the next few weeks, we'll have some more conversation, and we'll see where we are and see where we land in January when we come back to school.
Coach, what's the one thing, and I don't want you to say turnovers. What's the one thing about this team for 21 that must get better? Must get better.
Well, you know, the obvious, you won't let me say that. So, you know, we got to get better in that regard. But I think for us, you know, it's finding some big play threats on offense as we head into next year. We're losing Fitzpatrick, who's moving on to the NFL. We saw Hawkins is moving on. Tutu Atwell's moving on. So those are some firepower that we had the last couple of years that we're not going to be having this year. But I think as we move to the next year, who are going to be those playmakers? You know, Watkins is a true freshman. I think he's got a lot of promise. He scored Saturday. Of course, you have Ford back, who's one of the lead touchdown reception tight ends in the ACC. You got Cunningham back, who I think can be one of the better quarterbacks out there in all the land next year. We saw what Mitchell could do as a freshman, you know, rushing for over 160 yards. And so we got to find those playmakers on offense. But I will say I think our defense will continue to get better next year. We got a great mix of experienced players coming back and along with what we're adding. I do think we have to create more of those turnovers on that side of the ball. You know, we talk about, you know, losing the ball, but I think we have to create more on that side of the ball. I think we were only 5 interceptions this year, which is, I think, maybe toward the bottom or last in the ACC. So we have to get better with that. You know, but I think overall we will continue to improve. I like what we did in the kicking game this past year with JT as our kicker, one of the best kickers out there, only missed 2 field goals. So, again, he was a freshman. So we have a lot of good young promise out there for us next year. We just got to continue to get better.
A lot of people will talk about the veteran guys. We see Goldwire there getting on a ball in the ball game the other day. The veteran guys, Etheridge, Avery, guys like that will be gone. I saw Lovie Jenkins make a lot of plays. Trey Clark makes a lot of plays for you in the back end. You made some strides there, it looked like.
Yeah, no question. You know, you mentioned Lovie Jenkins. Josh Meekins is another freshman right here from Louisville that I think is going to have a huge impact next year. Trey Clark, you know, transferred in this past season, and he's going to be outstanding, and he was. He had a great year this year. You know, there's a Jared Dawson's going to be a nose for us that I think has got great promise. He came in last year as a freshman, and he was the strongest freshman that we've ever had come into our program anywhere. I think he's going to be really good at nose. You know, so a lot of good players, I think, on that side of the ball, young players that are going to be able to help us. And we've already talked about the freshman on the offensive side, Austin College, true freshman, first start ever at center, and played a really, really good game after the first quarter after he settled down. So, yeah, we got a lot of good young players that we think next year are going to continue to get better. You know, particularly if we can have a spring and a summer like we missed last year. I think a lot of these guys missed that development last year, and so hopefully we'll be able to get that this year.
We have an ACC championship game this weekend with Notre Dame and Clemson. You did not see Dabo's guys this year, but you really played Notre Dame tough in South Bend. You mentioned 12-7. What was it that you did in that game that caused Notre Dame issues that maybe somebody hasn't figured out yet?
Well, I think defensively we didn't give up any big plays. I mean, we kept everything in front of us. We made them drive the ball, you know. And if you go back and look at that, you know, we punted back to them in the fourth quarter with a little over 8 minutes, and we never saw the ball again.
Right.
Now, you know, so they didn't score as many points, but they did occupy the football. They kept it away from us. But I think defensively we did a really good job of keeping everything in front. You know, and I think their defense is a bend but don't break type defense, and we didn't get enough points on the board against those guys. But I think this game against Clemson should be another great game. It was a great win by Notre Dame in the regular season. Clemson did not have, Trevor Lawrence or some of their other starters on defense. I think maybe we're out three starters. So should be a different game this week, I think, when Clemson gets some of their guys back. Obviously I know they're hungry from having lost the one in the regular season. So it should be a great game.
All right, so what does one get Monday for one's birthday? I mean, you know, you got Christmas a couple days later.
Oh.
Seems like it'd be a volume turndown a little bit, huh?
It's been a bummer my whole life, really. I mean, when you have a birthday on the December 21st, it's like, here's your birthday Christmas present, you know, because they got you a Christmas present. They forgot it was your birthday, but here you go. And so I've had that happen just about my whole life. So yeah, really hadn't been a big deal to do that. I know December 21st is also the first day of winter, so I guess that's the highlight of that day.
Hey, Scott, you're just a cheap date, man. You're like the perfect dude. It's like a 2-for-1 special when you get that birthday and Christmas in the same week. You are the ultimate cheap date is what you are. You know that.
No question about it. No question about it. And, again, I've never really looked forward to it. My wife's birthday is August 9th, so it's always been a big deal. Summer birthday, you know, hey, we're celebrating and all that. Not for me. You know, it's just Christmas.
Yeah. You know, you're lucky. Yeah, I tell you what, you're lucky you got a roof over your head. Enjoy it.
I'm definitely going to enjoy it and looking forward to Christmas time here, spending time with the family.
Listen, always a pleasure, man. Keep up the good work.
Oh, man.
Yeah, great to see you guys. Merry Christmas.
It's been a beat down my whole life. Unbelievable.
But he's right. Coach is right. I mean, when you've got one of those late December birthday Christmas combos, man, that's a tough break. That's a tough break.
Oh, that was awesome.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Luke Hancock's going to join us coming up here in about 10 or 15 minutes. We look forward to that as well. Always a pleasure having Coach Satterfield on the show. I guarantee you the bed felt good Saturday night, and I guarantee when the sun came up Sunday after a W, it was like, man, that was a really needed W for Louisville. And again, hold on the football,
yep,
man. That's really
right about that.
As Coach said, it's all about turnovers. They could hold on the ball and not turn it over all day. They had a chance to beat people. I expect them to bounce back, though, in 21, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think there are a lot of elements that factor into ACC football in 21 that we'll get to maybe between now and kind of the end of the bowls. And one is, I'll just leave this kind of as a tease for the discussion here in a week or so. What's the structure of ACC football in 21? Because we found some things out this year, Pac, right? Without divisions.
Yeah, I sense we're going back to divisions would be my guess. But, you know, we'll deal with it when we can deal with it, right? We'll see. Biggest game ever coming up this week. And we got National Signing Day today.
It.
And appears, based on the folks that really keep up with this, I mean, the folks that really know what they're talking about. The ACC has a chance to have four teams in the top 10 of your recruiting rankings today. That's where we are.
Yeah. Tom Luganville talked about it yesterday. North Carolina and Miami are right there. Both finished top 20 last year, and both could be bringing top-level quarterback talent back in. That's certainly a big position on a day like this. Pittsburgh, and I thought you made a great point, Pittsburgh may have already had their most important recruit before signing day.
Yep.
With the announced return yesterday that Kenny Pickett's going to come back. You know, it's easy to say. I remember when Mack Brown first went to Texas and Ricky Williams said he was coming back, and Mack said our number one recruit had already signed. and Ricky Williams ended up winning the Heisman that year. I would argue this, though, with Kenny Pickett, Mark, and just looking at the Panthers, and you mentioned Jordan Addison, I'll throw Jared Wayne in there. I'll throw some of those guys. They ended up playing, you know, complimentary roles, Vincent Davis, guys like that. There's just so many different things you can think of from a standpoint about where Pittsburgh is going to be with Kenny Pickett next year. He was critical in some respects. Nothing against Joey Yellen, nothing against some of these other guys, but Kenny Pickett's return is enormous for Pat Narduzzi's team next year.
Yeah, when Yellen took over, they simply just couldn't score, and they didn't. They put even more pressure on a really talented defensive team that just couldn't get off the field. I mean, they were always on the field, and eventually they wore down, and hence you go 0 for October. And I've mentioned this a half dozen times, the game you called, NC State and Pitt, I thought was a turning point in both the Pitt season and for NC State. I mean, he finally got a win against a ranked team at the time on the road. That snapped a long streak for Dave Doran's guys. They got some confidence and played well moving forward. And for Pitt, they just were never the same team. And I thought that was a team that had a chance to be in the ACC championship game. That was my sleeper team all summer long before the retweaking of the schedules and Notre Dame joined and we had no division. That did change things up. And I thought Pitt, from a schedule standpoint, we got a tough break in terms of the travel miles. They traveled the second most of any team in the league after starting off the season with the first four games at home. And then all of a sudden you go through, hey, you lose your quarterback, you go 0 for October, guys are opting out, and you just kind of got lost. But Pat's guys played well, I thought, when you saw Pickett come back. Pitt football played at a different level. And really, with the exception of their road trip to Death Valley, in which they got ambushed in the first quarter, 31-0. Other than that, they played good football. I mean, they blew out Virginia Tech. They took care of business coming down the stretch. And it makes a world of difference when you got a guy back there that can sling it and dudes that can catch it. And if I'm, like I said, if I'm a Pitt fan, I am thrilled to death that number 8's coming back.
Well, and look, we can already throw this up here now. I mean, the list of quarterbacks for 21 that we know of right now in the ACC, okay? Kenny Pickett, Malik Cunningham, Sam Howell, Devin Leary, Bailey Hockman, take your choice there, right? Yep. Brennan Armstrong at Virginia, whatever the combination at Virginia Tech is going to be. I mean, you saw three guys, all with eligibility, Hendon Hooker, Braxton Burmeister, Knox Kadem. I mean, you saw three guys there, plus whoever they're recruiting, right?
Jurkovic, DJ, Mackenzie Milton thrown in the mix at Florida State. I mean, the league's, you know, Sims doing his thing. The league was really, really good in the quarterback department this year. It'll be really, really good again next season.
Yep. And remember a few years ago when you and I were having that conversation about the, you know, that Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky year, all those things, and then there was the dip behind it?
And there was.
I don't see – I mean, there probably won't be a Trevor Lawrence. There won't be a, you know, an Ian Book, obviously, on the Notre Dame situation. Maybe De'Eriq King goes, you know, that type thing. But there was a dip behind that line with Watson and Trubisky and that crowd. Doesn't look to be as big a dip behind this crowd.
No, I agree with that 100%. And there was a dip. I mean, you know, you had a guy win a Heisman Trophy. You had another guy – leading a team to a national championship. And again, you, now you see what both those guys are doing on Sunday football and you realize those are superstars. Sure. There was a dip. And this does go through a cycle. And this is true whether we're talking about the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, you figure out your favorite league. And you go through cycles with quarterback play. You do. But this is an uptick year for the ACC. And I think it'll be good again next year. I really do. I think the league is really positioned itself. Now, I don't know from other position spots, because 2020 has been such a special year for ACC football up and above just quarterback play. But the league has positioned itself, I think, to be in a really, really good spot moving forward.
And you mentioned Jurkovic. It also speaks to the job. This is a big day for Jeff Hafley, too, because Boston College has a chance to finish as high as they've been in recruiting in 7 years. If everybody goes in according to the folks that rank these classes. There you go, 37 is the number as it starts today. Who knows? Maybe they get one or two they weren't expecting, and all of a sudden the number moves up, plus they bring back Phil Jurkovic as well. So, Wes, hey, look, Wes, that's Wes. Why it, I keep going back to what you said about the 2020 and how important it was.
Don't you love the numbers, though? Again, I'm saying this as somebody that does not follow recruiting. And Wes and I are both eerily similar in this department. Sometimes we're polar opposite, but we're almost connected to the hip on this. I love this day. Not so much that, hey, Team X sign a five-star, whatever. Again, I hope every kid that signs goes to where they go and they have great success. I'm not rooting against anybody. Nobody here. Go where you want to go. But I just love to listen to fans lose it on rankings, on dudes that you have no earthly idea 2 years from now if they're going to be number one on your campus, if they're even going to be able to play, if they can even do the work academically. Will they even compete? Will they enter the transfer portal? Will they be out of college athletics in the working class? I mean, who knows? I mean, I always get a kick out of the rankings because it's like, I don't worry about this stuff. I mean, it's important to get really good players. But when I see a guy, and I'll just use Nick Saban because he's been pretty successful. When I see him every year go to the podium and somebody, some Yahoo is going to ask him a question about, well, what about the ranking? And he'll say, I've got no earthly idea how good these guys are going to be. We'll find out when we get them on campus and find out who wants to compete. And it's true whether we're talking about Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, or anybody in between. You just never know. You hope you get good kids. You hope they fit your system. You hope they are good citizens and don't get arrested and get in all kinds of trouble and do the work in the classroom. But you have no idea today, truly, what in the world you got. You don't. And I know there's people that say, you guys are crazy. I do know. No, you don't. When the head coach doesn't know, you don't know. And there's not a single head coach that can tell you. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, Joey Jones, the 6'6" tight end that we just got from Panama City, is going to be the next. No, you don't. You have no earthly idea. So hopefully it works out that way, but we'll see. Ask me 2 years from now how to rank this year's class. That's what I'd tell you.
They all come highly recommended, though.
Every 100% of them do. 100% of them do. There's not a single coach in America today that is going to go to the podium on a Zoom call and say this. I tell you, signing day today, we didn't sign anybody. We got a bunch of dogs. We you know what? I thought we were going to get this three-star kid, this offensive tackle, and he decided to go to State Tech University. Can't believe we lost. There won't be a single coach in America that says that. Every coach today is going to look you right in the eye and go, hey, we feel really good about the group that we got. And I hope so. Hope it all works out. But like I said, these rankings will drive you crazy, man. Don't worry about them. Don't. If you get upset with your team's ranked, you really need to take a deep breath and a step back and just take it in, go on down your bout, do your business, and don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. Just telling you.
How classic would it be if a guy went to the podium and went, I don't know what to tell you.
Worst class we've ever had. Worst class. I can't believe it.
We didn't get anybody.
Doggone it. We won 8 games this year. You thought we'd get some momentum, and you know what? We couldn't.
We got nobody.
We got kids that couldn't play dead in the cowboy movie.
That's it. There
our boys go. Our boys stink. I didn't know we were going to say that. Everybody, hey, we feel good about this class. No. Really, really like what we got. Great. Let's go see. Let me know.
Real good. Coach, real quick, you don't have any linemen in the class. Didn't need any.
No.
Got everything we need.
Could sign one. We're going to play 11 wide this year. We're just going to go 11 wide.
That's it. Oh, man.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. I told you it's going to have a Ville vibe this hour. Scott Satterfield leading off the hour now.
You're going to ask him about that. Picture we just saw.
Well, let's ask.
We're going to see that again. Get some explanation.
Luke Hancock joins us.
Luke Hancock's here.
My unverified partner. We continue to stay unverified on Twitter. So we always have had a connection from that standpoint. Luke, how you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm doing great, guys. I know you talked about recruits and it's signing day. As a former no star, I'm pretty sure I could play dead in a cowboy movie. I think I can get that one done.
Puts things in perspective entirely. My partner's got a question about a video that we just saw, however.
What? Hancock, no offense here now. I mean, you're my guy and everything, but what was the red sunglasses and what? I mean, we'll get one more look at this just to kind of capsule and make sure what we got here. But, I mean, we saw something going to break there that I don't know that I've ever laid eyes on that spectacular piece of evidence in your life before. What is this?
Oh, that one's supposed to die. Yeah, those clips. I like those clips a lot better. Two things. You know, everybody makes mistakes. It was a bad college decision. And then number two, I will never give any grief to somebody missing a catch in a football game off a punt return or kickoff return, whatever it is, because those lights are really, really bright down there, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good look right there. That is another reason to stay unverified. That alone, right there.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to hoops. It's been interesting, right? The first 3 weeks of this season. Forget about the disruptions and the COVID tests, which you can't, but you're just to put that on the side. Some teams that we thought can come out of the gates really, really hot have been kind of lukewarm. Some teams that we thought would be, they'll be okay, have been pretty good. It's kind of been a mixed bag across the board with the ACC coming out of the gate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's teams you just haven't really figured out what they're about just yet. You don't know their identity. You could be in Duke's position where they're dropping games, especially at Cameron Indoor, which I think one thing is for sure, people are licking their chops to get a chance to play the Dukies at Cameron Indoor without that just crazy atmosphere. You got teams like Georgia Tech that are going to lose to Mercer and Georgia State and turn around and beat the Kentucky Wildcats. You know, that pains me that the UK had to go down. Mm-hmm. You know, you got NC State dropping a bunch of games in terms of not being able to play them just yet. They've won most of their games by 30, 40, 50 points. So you don't know who's who just yet. Teams are starting to get an identity. I really liked what I saw from a team like Florida State. You know, I love Hamilton style, playing 12 guys, keeping everybody fresh, and then letting Scotty Barnes go to work late in that game. There are a couple teams that you're starting to figure out a little bit, and then a bunch of teams you just have no idea just yet.
Okay, Luke, I want to examine Duke because we've got Duke Notre Dame tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN. Jalen Johnson, foot injury, will not play for the time being. What have you seen so far from the Blue Devils that gives you concern now with this young team and diving into ACC play? Because the Irish have shown you just enough, especially Prentice Hubb. I think Prentice Hubb's got a chance to lead the league in scoring. But you start looking at Notre Dame and you just wonder, is it Notre Dame tonight or are you more concerned about Duke?
Well, I just like the way Notre Dame handled the run Kentucky made in that second half. If you're looking at the problems for Duke, I'm not exactly sure where to start because they have a lot of them. In the front court, losing that big athlete, Jalen Johnson, that really hurts them. I don't know if Mark Williams is quite ready to go, and if Matthew Hurt's not knocking down shots, they just don't have a presence inside at all, it seems. And I'll tell you this, you really have a problem when Wendell Moore is supposed to come back and be the man for that team, and he just looks as unconfident as I have seen a player. You know, I started out my college career at Louisville 3 for 31 from three, and all those, I say this all the time, all those Lukes, they were all boos. And it is tough to come back when the crowd is on you, when fans are on you, when your teammates are on you. I thought he had a 1 for 20 stretch shooting the basketball, but it's more just the lack of confidence and how he looks. You know, you got to be able to step in your sophomore year, especially with all those young guys around you, really take the reins. I think they have issues at a lot of different places. I guess I like DJ Stewart a lot, but they've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle that aren't playing up to expectations just yet. I guess Coach K did a good thing by giving these guys a little break to go get mentally focused and then come back for this Notre Dame game. But again, Prentice Hubb, was lights out in that Kentucky game. He made the big play, made it at the right time. They've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and it's traditional Mike Bray basketball where they're going to pass it well. They're going to shoot it really, really well. If they can defend some of those guards for Duke, I like Notre Dame in this matchup. I just don't think Duke's playing well enough. I don't think they have enough confidence. Ultimately, Coach K is one of the best in the business. He is on the Mount Rushmore of college basketball, and I think he'll get his guys to turn around. But from what I've seen, they've really, really struggled.
Look, I made a comment the other day that I thought Florida State right now is the safest bet in men's ACC basketball. Is that open for debate, or is that kind of a no-brainer?
I think it's a no-brainer. You know, I picked Virginia to win the league early on. I thought the addition of Sam Hauser would give them another dimension, especially shooting the basketball, but they haven't looked like UVA just yet. They haven't looked like Tony Bennett, especially on that defensive end. But Florida State is traditional Florida State. Man, these guys are long, athletic. They've got shooters all around, and Anthony Polite and MJ Walker. MJ Walker in particular has stepped into that Trent Forrest role as the emotional leader. But I'm talking dynamic. I'm talking awesome early on from Scotty Barnes. What I saw last night, I mean, for crying out loud, this guy is 6'9", defending Bubba Parham, who was averaging 20 a game before he transferred to Georgia Tech, and he's staying with him. He's keeping him on one side of the floor. He's using his length and athleticism, and we see all the highlight reel dunks coming down the lane, and he gets fired up. But you can't stop a guy who's a foot taller than everybody guarding him, getting in the paint and just making these little bunnies over top of these guys. I mean, I love what I have seen from Scotty Barnes so far. A couple ESPN top 10s are great to see, but it's all over the floor. And he's really poised. He gets his team the right shot at the right time. And for a Leonard Hamilton squad, he doesn't even let freshmen talk to the media, much less have the ball down the stretch play after play after play and really trust in him to make the right decision.
All right, Luke, what's the one trait about his game? I mean, we see the dunks and stuff. Is it the ability to handle and his size, or is there anything unique about him? I mean, we all drew the Magic Johnson comparison when we heard he was going to handle the ball a lot. Is there one thing that sticks out to you?
Yeah, at that size, I just love his poise and court vision. You know, it's not necessarily one thing with this guy. He's just dynamic. His ability to guard positions. I mean, at one point, Georgia Tech was playing a 6'7 center yesterday, and Scotty Barnes could have guarded 1 through 5. He gets in the paint, and he makes the right play at the right time. I mean, we asked in ACC Media Days, what's the toughest part for Scotty Barnes to be playing point guard at that size? And Leonard Hamilton said nothing. He's done great transitioning. I loved his poise down the stretch. Georgia Tech made a run. They tied the game. And they didn't go to MJ Walker. They didn't go to Koprivica inside with a 6-inch height advantage. They went to Scotty Barnes in pick and rolls, and they let him go to work. And it wasn't just him trying to get down the lane, trying to get downhill on guys and dunk on them. It was right play at the right time, finding his teammates and getting them good shots. At that size, it's just really tough to bother him with that ball handling ability and court vision. So it's not just one thing with this guy, but if I had to choose one, it's just poise for a freshman to be able to make the right play at the right time and in some big-time games. Florida State is not, it's not NC State that just hasn't been tested yet. Florida State's the real deal.
I was going to go with NC State and Louisville and kind of connect them at the hip. We were supposed to see that game this week. Because of COVID, we didn't. Both have given you sample sizes. We go, man, I kind of like what I see, but level of competition to be determined, right? We didn't get a chance to see either one of them in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. How would you define right now both NC State and Louisville?
Well, I think NC State is a lot more of a question mark. I mean, they've beaten some teams that aren't in the top 50, that aren't even close to being in the top 50. They've played well. I think they've looked well. And when you lose Markel Johnson and you lose C.J. Bryce in particular, he's a guy who transferred from UNC Wilmington with Keats, has kind of embodied who he is and who he wants his team to be. But they seem to play a little more together without those guys. I mean, when you lose a star, sometimes the sum of those parts come together and they look a little bit better. And I think you have that right now with NC State. But they haven't had a real test just yet. And on the Louisville side, I think their big matchup was Seton Hall and also WKU. The question marks there are in the front court. Healthy, I think this Louisville team is actually really good. I love David Johnson. I love Carlique Jones. If you can get Malik Williams back and then get the rest of those guys healthy, I think this team's pretty solid. I think they can make a run at the top three or four in this league. But right now, the front court, they don't have the bodies just yet. I have been impressed with Jalen Withers. I have been impressed with Clint Szczesny, but the test gets much tougher from here on out. And I think that's the real question mark for me. Can they rebound with the Carolinas of this league when you have 3 5-star centers and a Garrison Brooks ACC preseason player of the year type? So if their front court can hold up, their guard tandem up front is really, really good. They've been tested much better than NC State. But if you ask me in a week, I might change my whole opinion on both those guys because this is a big week for them.
All right. Now, let me tell you how big it is. Do you know how enormous Saturday is for Louisville, Luke?
This Wisconsin game?
Yeah. You know how big that game is? Do you realize it's much more than Louisville? Tell them, Pack. We got some real stuff hanging out here now on this game.
Here's what we discussed during the break. I know the Big Ten's beating their chest, saying they won the ACC Big Ten Challenge 6-5-2 or whatever the number was, 6-5-3. But the fact that we're going to get Louisville and Wisconsin, I think that if the Cards win the game, again, the biggest word in sports is if. If the Cards win that game, it's 6-6-2. 6-6-2. And the fact that the ACC just stole Jim Phillips to be the new commissioner, we win.
There you go.
We win. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Hey, I like your style, guys. And I know everybody across the country has touted the Big Ten as just far and away the best basketball conference. But this is an opportunity for the ACC. Yes, maybe the top of the ACC hasn't performed quite as well as we would have liked. But this game in particular is going to be awesome to watch. You know, you've gotten young guys really step up early for Louisville, and they're going to go against a Wisconsin team that's some grizzled veterans. When you go meet those guys, you're going to have to bring your A game. And I think all across the country, I've seen a priority kind of fading on shooting and some veteran guys. I mean, I'm an old guy. I had the old man basketball game. I'm going to be at the Y shooting sky hooks and old school Kareem Abdul-Jabbar shots, getting a foot off the ground. But that's how it works sometimes. And I think this Wisconsin team has a lot of that. Some crafty veterans that are really going to test Louisville. They're going to be physical. They're going to try and beat them up. And the lights will be brightest. And so some of these young guys stepping into some of those roles, it's going to be really interesting to watch. But I will say, I'm hearing Sam Williamson's getting healthier and healthier, close to playing. I'm sure he'll be in action on Saturday. And then Charles Mendland, the transfer from San Francisco, is just going to add a little bit of depth. Last year, Louisville had a heck of a lot of depth. This year, their rotation kind of shrinks a little bit. But again, I loved what I've seen so far. They've really impressed me above my expectations, to be honest.
All right. Before we let you go here, Pack, I have one question here for Hancock. Now I have seen this this at-home setup, and it's solid, by the way. It's a very solid piece of work by you from a design standpoint. However, there is this Monet Louisville football helmet behind you that last time I checked, you did not play football at the University of Louisville. I see the Ali boxing glove, which I totally respect, by the way. But tell me about this Monet football helmet that's behind you, because I've never seen anybody wear that helmet. Is this something that young Luke Hancock drew up in the streets of Roanoke back in the day, or is this something else?
I'm glad you brought it up, because I will say Louisville fans have given me all the praise for this Murder Bird Louisville helmet. It was actually just one game for the Cards, and this one here, this one signed by Mr. Action Jackson, who really showed out the other night against Baker Mayfield and company. But that is the game, the Auburn game, where Lamar really had his coming out party. That's that helmet they wore for that game, and it was just one game. I don't know how partial I am to the Murder Bird, but I like the uniqueness of it, something a little different. And the fact that Mr. Lamar Jackson, MVP, signed it makes it extra special. So I didn't want to be too much of a homer, so I'm not going to put a Louisville basketball up there. I told Kevin Keats yesterday my next thing is an NC State basketball signed by my old coach.
Like it. Like the story. I like the attitude. I like everything about that. I do. Now, if we could just burn the footage that we started this interview with you walking across it, if we could just find a way to shred that and disintegrate that, you'd be in business.
Let's start right there. Keep it to the basketball highlights, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, thanks. Be well, okay? Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Hope to see y'all soon.
You got it.
You too.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment on a Wednesday on National Signing Day. Again, we'll dive a little deeper into it tomorrow once we get everybody signed, sealed, and delivered, and rankings are out, and coaches are bragging, and how great everything was, is, going to be. So we'll deal with that tomorrow, for sure. But you do have hoops going on, as you mentioned, Wes, not only this afternoon, but also tonight. A couple ACC conference matchups, and I got to be honest with you, the one at the very bottom is the one that really has me intrigued because, you know, Duke from the eye test, I mean, how often do you see a 21 beside Duke's name? Just let that marinate first, right? That's not number two. That's not number one. No, that's 21 Duke against Notre Dame, and that's 21 Duke without Jalen Johnson tonight. But we'll get some more answers today.
Absolutely. How about Pitt-Miami too, Pac, because you've got, you know, two teams that we're still kind of waiting on, right?
Yep, both.
They're both in the waiting on our order category of pancakes, right?
Yep, and Miami, as I mentioned, only six scholarship players over the weekend eligible to play. And if you're going to catch the Canes, really, right now is probably the time to catch it before Jim Larranega's guys get healthy again. But it seems like that's been an issue now for the last couple of years. I mean, it just never seemed like Miami was whole last season, and here we are 3 weeks into this deal. It's more the same down in Coral Gables, even though the Canes did get up the big win last week, knocking off Purdue in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
That's right. So a couple of ball games here. You see Syracuse Northeastern is our first one here on ACC Network at 3 o'clock. Signing day special at 5 with the guys from the huddle, and then at 6 o'clock, you'll get Pitt-Miami from the Watsco Center, and then at 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN, Duke's visit to Notre Dame. Interested to see the Orange. Enjoyed our visit with Alan Griffin yesterday. Gurrier, you got Garrard, you got Buddy Boeheim. By the way, Marek Dolezal is off to a nice start as well for Syracuse and the Orange tonight with Northeastern. That's a group who –
keep an eye on
just kind of doing their thing, Pac. Yeah. Just kind of out there, right?
They're part of our half stack of pancakes, and I like the trend that they're going in. And like I said, if you watched them play Saturday, you went, wow, where are they ranked? You mean they're not ranked? Because Syracuse looked the part Saturday. I mean, they just absolutely carved up BC. Yeah. And when they're making threes, watch out. I mean, that zone's always caused headaches and so forth with Jim Boeheim's guys. And they need to get healthy, too. I mean, they're not completely whole yet.
Yep.
But so keep an eye on Syracuse. That's one of those teams that nobody's talking about as far as one of the top four teams in the league. But they've got potential to cause some problems.
Yeah. Don't forget the signing day special at 5 o'clock. Here's some of the preliminary looks of classes as ranked by the good folks who follow recruiting for ESPN in relationship to ACC teams and the vaunted ESPN 300 list. Clemson, if their class holds, will have 16 commits or 16 signees by the end of the day from the ESPN 300. North Carolina would have 10. Notre Dame, whose football membership in this year has 9, 8 for Miami, and 3 for NC State. The 16 looks like a misprint almost, Pac. It's how good that number is.
Well, Dabo does Dabo things, right? I mean, they just have recruited extremely well. And, you know, the rich keep getting richer. It's kind of what it feels like, whether we're talking Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, you fill in the blank. The teams that normally have really good-looking players, they normally have pretty good signing days. That's how it works.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.